Welcome everyone to our Sunday service in the Dublin Unitarian Church in St Stephen's Green, and welcome to people who are part of our online community joining us on the webcam and listening afterwards on the recordings page on the website. Here in the Unitarian Church we have a long-standing tradition of an open pulpit. Members of the congregation lead the service from time to time, and this has been very much in evidence in the last number of months while we await our appointment of a new minister. I'm a member of the congregation, and it's my turn to lend a hand today. Our opening words: love is the doctrine of this welcoming community. Because it's unlikely that any two of us here would share the same beliefs, we don't tell you what you must believe. All we ask is that you join with us in a search for meaning and purpose, and that you respect the inherent dignity and worth of every person. Now, it's the Unitarian practice to light a chalice at the start of each service, so I light our chalice now. Our chalice lighting words: we light this chalice to remember where our true hope lies, not in rulers or regimes, but in the eternal light of conscience and the ancient call to love our neighbour. As the psalmist wrote, "Put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help." May this flame guide our lives and our actions toward the things that endure: mercy, justice, and the work of peace. Amen. So now we'll have our first hymn. It's number 298, "Wake Now My Senses." Let us pray. Spirit of hope, bless the quiet builders, the people who mend, who tend, and who weave. Bless those who choose love over fear, truth over vanity, humility over display. In our world, besotted as it is by power and spectacle, in an atmosphere confused by the spread of fake news, let us find strength in the things that endure: love, kindness, justice, simplicity, and truth. Amen. Now let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our reader today is Tony Roach.
Morning, everybody. Seem to manage to get up here now, so I think probably the reading's relatively easy, comparatively. A poem by Yeats today, surprise you all. It's an old favourite, The Song of Wandering Angus. I went out to the hazel wood because a fire was in my head, and cut and peeled a hazel wand, and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing, and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream, and caught a little silver trout. When I had lain it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame. But something rustled on the floor, and someone called me by my name. It had become a glimmering girl with apple blossom in her hair, who called me by my name and ran and faded through the brightening air. Though I am old with wandering through hollow lands and hilly lands, I will find out where she has gone, and kiss her lips and take her hands, and walk among long dappled grass, and pluck till time and times are done the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun.
Thanks, Tony. You never fail to remind us of poetry. Thank you. Now it's time for a children's story. Once upon a time, there was a boy named Leo who lived near a beautiful beach. For his 10th birthday, Leo asked his parents for 10 sand buckets. His parents were very poor, and they tried to convince Leo that he didn't need 10 sand buckets. One or two should suffice. But Leo kicked up such a rumpus that they finally gave in. They dipped into their savings, to get him 10 buckets that he insisted on having. Leo boasted to his friends that he would build the most amazing sandcastle ever. It would have 10 tall towers and would be surrounded by a deep moat. The very next day he got down to work. He built his castle on a beautiful flat stretch of beach. The castle had a drawbridge made of driftwood. It had windows made from shells. Leo made flags from seaweed and he hung the flags up on each of the 10 towers. His friends came by and they were full of praise for him. "Leo, that's the best sandcastle we've ever seen. You're amazing." Leo was chuffed with all the praise. He put up a big sign beside the castle. It read, "Keep away by order of King Leo. Anyone who interferes with my work will be in big trouble." That night, Leo went to bed. He dreamed of his castle and his kingdom. In his dream, he was interviewed by reporters. They wanted to know how had he managed to build such a castle. They asked would he go on television and would he write a book about the project. I think you can see what's going to happen here. The next morning, Leo couldn't wait to get down to the beach. "I hope nobody has come near my castle," he muttered. When he got to the beach, he looked up and down and he couldn't believe his eyes. His amazing castle was nowhere to be seen. All that remained was a faded notice drifting in and out with the tide, warning people, "Keep away." Leo and his wonderful castle. Is there a hopeful lesson that we can take from that sad story? The lesson might be this: all human pride, power and ambition, no matter how strong it seems, will fade. All it needs is the passage of time, and we all know how quickly time passes. Now it's time for a second hymn, number 318, "We Would Be One." My reading is from St. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I've no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You've plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" So now we're going to have some words which will lead into a time of reflection, and this will be brought to an end by Doreen playing some music for us. Let's all make sure we're sitting comfortably. You might like to close your eyes for this part, but you don't have to. Just relax. And for the next few moments, just let things be. Notice your breathing in and your breathing out. A formula that sometimes proves helpful is to use words such as this. Breathing in, I'm aware that I'm breathing in. And the same as you breathe out. Breathing out, I'm aware that I'm breathing out. So let's pay attention to our breathing for a few moments. It's helpful to remember that if you ever feel worried or stressed or faced with some difficult task, you can always bring yourself back to the present moment, to a place of peace and calm, by just simply paying attention to your breathing. Your simple breathing in and your breathing out. And now that we are hopefully in a relaxed state, I'd like each of us to answer a couple of questions. The first question: if you had been alive as a man at a time when women didn't have a right to vote, would you have supported the suffragettes campaign? Would you have tied yourself to the railings? The next question. If you'd been alive and aware of the horrific events at the time of the Holocaust, would you have resisted and stood up for what is right? The reason I ask this is I was introduced to a book a couple of days ago, which has these words on its cover. One day, when it's safe, when there's no personal downside to calling a thing what it is, when it's too late to hold anyone accountable, everyone will have always been against this. The title of the book, One Day, Everyone Will Always Have Been Against This, by Omar El Akkad. Omar talks about the moral emptiness of our Western civilization. How we talk about freedom and justice, and yet we allow unspeakable things to happen, and we fail to take action to stop them. How will history judge our response to the deliberate killing and starvation of innocent children that we see on our television screens every night? So now, leading into the music from Doreen, which will follow after a short pause, can we take time to ask ourselves this? Are we in 2025 prepared to speak up and stand up for what we know to be right? Or are we only prepared to take action, for example, to boycott goods coming from illegal settlements, provided we don't suffer the economic consequences? In a world where people are suffering unspeakable horrors, what is the price of the Irish soul? Or as Jesus is said to have put it, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Sic transit gloria mundi, thus passes the glory of the world. This Latin expression contains a timeless message and one that's ever more appropriate for us in 2025. The phrase was first used at the coronation of Pope Alexander V in Pisa on the 7th of July 1409, and it seems the practice of using these words continued up to the 1960s. During the ceremony, a monk holding a burning flax torch would approach the Pope three times, and he would whisper, "Pater Sancte, sic transit gloria mundi." Holy Father, thus passes the glory of the world. The ritual served as a sobering reminder that no matter how exalted the office, all worldly power is fleeting. These words carry the wisdom and the weight of centuries. In a world that's besotted by power and wealth and success, strong leaders, powerful nations, impressive buildings, unlimited extravagance, these words invite us all to see more clearly and to live more humbly. They remind us that we leave this world carrying as little as we did when we came into it. Sometimes in our fascination with power and glory, we're inclined to forget that although the ornamentation might be different, we all fit into the same size of container at the end of the day. You can't take it with you when you go. And as they say, there are no pockets in a shroud. The poet Shelley, who died just over 200 years ago, cautioned us about the false promise of earthly power with these words. "I met a traveller from an antique land who said, 2 vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things." And on the pedestal these words appear: "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair." Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. Ozymandias, a 2 centuries-old lesson for our time, from Shelley. Its message: even the mightiest fall, always, the most glorious cities and powers, the pomp and the circumstance of empires, the self-importance, the self-confident utterings, they are all swallowed up by the relentless passage of time. The Voyager 1 spacecraft was launched by NASA in 1977. On Valentine's Day 1990, it sent back a photograph of a tiny dot suspended in a sunbeam. This was planet Earth as it appeared from a distance of 3.7 billion miles, or 6 billion kilometres. The photograph inspired the popular astronomer Carl Sagan to produce a book entitled The Pale Blue Dot. Referring to the Earth, he says, "On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives." He mentions how this place was home to every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader. He points out that every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived here on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Carl Sagan goes on, "Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Sic transit gloria mundi." How could any of us ever have imagined that even today, the centuries-old lesson issued to the popes of old, or even the 200-year-old lesson of Ozymandias, needs to be relearned? Over recent decades, we may have drifted into believing that the ages of empire were long past. I certainly believed it, and maybe you did too. In our innocence, we may have believed in the growing emergence of one united global community. What do we see? A rush for power. the unlawful taking of land, resources being held hostage, innocent people, men, women and babies starving and being shot as they clamour for food. Hospitals without medicine, those doctors and nurses who still survive, carrying out an impossible task in impossible circumstances. According to the Ministry of Health of the State of Palestine, at least 1,581 health workers have been killed in Gaza since the 7th of October 2023. And all the time, ever more sophisticated means of harming one another on a planet that's already threatened by our peacetime greed, never mind the economic and environmental impact of our wars. How can it have come to this? And how can we look on this and continue to allow it? Looking around, it's easy to fall into despair, and so many people have already lost heart and hope. But we mustn't give in. The idea that this too shall pass could lull us into passivity. We might ask, why bother? We might think, isn't it all a cycle? Won't it come to an end anyway? But that would be an unforgivable mistake. We know that everything changes, but since we know that, we know that we can help bring change about. We can work to end injustice, and we can strive to end suffering. We have seen how power and glory passes away. Now we have to help to hurry it along. And if everything is temporary, which we know it is, then what we do in this short life matters more than ever. Most of us would wish to do something about the horrors we are witnessing, but we wonder, can one person make a difference? Yes, each of us is only one person, but remember how one teenager in Sweden sat outside a parliament with a sign. She sparked a movement. She was just one person. One woman refused to move to the back of a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. She helped to change history. She was just one person too. All we are asked to do when faced with a situation such as the one we are in is to do something, anything, but not just look on or turn away. We can sign petitions. We can write to politicians and to the media. We can remind people of the horror. We can get out and protest. We can boycott goods coming from oppressive regimes. And of course we can contribute to charities helping to bring aid. Everything and anything we do will help. It will encourage other people, and it will send out ripples that will have an effect. Realise too that change sometimes comes about unexpectedly and against all the odds. Think of the fall of empires in the past, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the ending of apartheid. The Roman Empire fell. The British Empire broke apart. The Berlin Wall crumbled. Apartheid ended. In the pause for reflection, I mentioned the book by Omar El Akkad and the quote on its cover. This is the book here. One day, when it's safe, and there is no personal downside to calling a thing what it is, when it's too late to hold anyone accountable, everyone will have always been against this. Omar warns us, when it becomes convenient, everyone will claim that they opposed injustice. But he argues that the real moral reckoning must begin now, before it's too late. He tells us, silence is complicity. Truth and resistance are acts of conscience. The state of our world today is a call to action, an invitation to each one of us, in whatever way we can, to call out for a better way. It can be a simple but a public gesture, such as the notice that we have outside the church, on our website and in our magazine. Justice demands that food, water and medical supplies are sent to Gaza now. We cannot say that loudly enough or often enough. When the history of this awful period comes to be written, let it be seen that we stood up, each and every one of us stood up, for what is right. Amen. And now we'll have our third hymn, after which the offertory will be taken. It's hymn number 175, We Celebrate the Web of Life. Now, we have some announcements. Thanks to all who contributed to today's service. Doreen for the music, and Josh, of course. Ayla, who looks after the technology and gets the church ready. Tony for the reading. Thank you, Tony. And our welcomers, Emer and Grania. And Emer also brought the flowers. Our coffee crew, Mary and Sheila, are downstairs. Please, everyone, if you have time, join us for coffee and tea downstairs after the service. The August edition of Uskild is on the table at the door. Please take one. Also check out the Inquirer magazine, which is there as well. Pam leads our weekly service of reflection. Takes place in the church every Wednesday from 1:05 to 1:35, after which there's tea, sometimes cake, but always biscuits. So come along on Wednesday if you're in town. And these sessions can also be accessed live on the webcam. We have a book club in the church. This month, the book being read is The Haven by Emma Donoghue. They meet on the last Wednesday of the month in the vestry, and Alison can give you more details if you need them. The Unitarian Walker's next ramble, they call it, is the Skerry's Loop Walk. It's on Saturday, the 9th of August. It's about 15 kilometres and takes 4 hours. So it sounds more like a marathon than a ramble to me, but they're a great group. And if you're free on the 9th of August, they would welcome you along. They meet up at 10:30 on that day at the Goat in the Boat in Skerry's. Marcus has more details. Before our blessing, we'll have our fourth hymn, which is number 114, Forward Through the Ages. Eternal Spirit, teach us to care for one another as we walk lightly on the good earth. May we never be found to be mere bystanders, looking on as our fellow human beings endure suffering. Give us the courage to stand with all who are oppressed, so that someday when they ask, "Where were you?" our lives will be the answer. Amen.